Welcome back to another episode of the DAT Fitness Business Podcast. Tom Blackman with Dan Smith. Hello, Dan.
Hi. Hi, Tom.
And today we're going to talk about being a new online coach. So what would you do if you were just starting out in online coaching? What would be the first things that you did? Well, if you are a coach starting out, first thing, you don't know. But thankfully, me and Dan have been doing coaching for a long time. So today we're going to talk about the things we would do if we had that time back again and we had some sort of time travel equipment to go back and tell our previous selves, hey, do this, don't do that. And I'm sure there's going to be some interesting snippets.
Yeah, I hope so.
So Dan, firstly, if you had a time travel machine, what would it be called or what would it be?
If I had a machine to actually go back, yeah, I'm thinking like Doctor Who style, but probably not a TARDIS or a phone box. But I reckon some kind of spacecraft, something, some kind of bullet shaped spacecraft. I reckon that would be good.
Bullet shaped spacecraft. I'd want a space hopper, and I'd just sit on the space hopper and just jump into different realities and different time periods. It'd be quite interesting just to appear on this magical space hopper.
Yeah, that would be the weirdest thing though, just appearing on a space hopper.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, get shot on sight. So obviously we've been a coach for a long time and we've done a lot of mistakes. We've obviously made some successes, obviously otherwise we wouldn't still be here. And there are obviously some things that people do immediately before they need to. So that's what we're gonna cover today. Now, personally, if I was gonna do all this stuff again, considering all the hassle that I've had, you know, with the business and everything else, I think absolutely the thing I'd be doing right at the start would be identifying my niche and who I wanted to actually work with. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that, and I think that's becoming even more important now. And I'll get your thoughts on this as well. But I feel like maybe potentially when we were back, maybe 8, 9, 10 years ago, it maybe wasn't as important as it is becoming now, purely down to the fact of the vast amount of coaches that there are out there now and the actual coaching businesses and different ways of doing things. So I feel like it's become even more important to be specific with that. But what do you reckon on that?
Yeah, well, I think the problem here is that what the hindsight that we have as coaches who've been doing it for a long time, which you don't have when you're just starting out, is that you don't want to alienate anybody. You know, it's like, well, I'm just starting this new business. The one thing I don't want to do is put people off working with me. So everyone becomes very general when they just start out. So, hey, do you want to lose fat, gain muscle? You know, yeah, I can do all that sort of stuff, you know. And it's so general. And what people think is, or coaches think is that, well, that's great because it's a wide area. So anybody who wants to lose fat or gain muscle and, you know, and have a diet plan and stuff like that, they'll all flock to me because I do everything. I can help everybody.
Yeah.
But it's just not like that, is it?
No, not anymore. I mean, I don't even think it was probably like that then, but I think if you're good at what you do as a coach, and then you can show that in some way, or you help someone achieve an outcome, then they are hopefully going to go and tell more people about that. And I think we should probably maybe take it back a few steps, because I've got like a structure that if someone said to me, what would you do if you had to start again, I've got like a list of points that potentially I would do off the back of like the experience and everything that's happened. But even before that, I would get really good at, I suppose, putting myself out there and not being worried about what people think. I would get really good at being embarrassed or not worried about being embarrassed. That's probably a better way of putting it. I would just not worry about putting myself out there and speaking to people and showing who I am, because I think that that's probably a harder point to get across sometimes to new coaches, if they are here, that you not only have to do all these points that we're going to talk about, get your niche and speak to people and all that stuff, but also you have to be fully prepared to put yourself out there and expect criticism, expect people not to like you, expect people to think that you're, you know, talking rubbish. Like that, you have to be okay with that and grow a bit of a thick skin. I think that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the again, what a lot of people worry about is that they don't want to offend anybody, but also they have this potential image of how they should behave as like a business person. And so they adjust their personality to be I did this when I was starting out. When I was starting out doing like online videos and stuff like that, my personality is quite sort of dry sense of humor and, you know, dad jokes and all that sort of stuff. When I was doing my first videos, I wanted them to be very informative and helpful. So that's how I came across. And it was so boring. Watching them back now, I was like, God, that's boring. And they were really hard to do. Because yeah. I had to be this other person. But as soon as I said, do you know what, I'm just going to be myself, I'm just going to put some jokes in or whatever. As soon as I started doing that, the videos became very easy to do. And also I got more likes, more following, more comments, more interaction, because it engaged with people's personalities.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with that. I agree. You were boring. No, I'm joking.
Yeah, I was boring. Yeah, yeah. If you see some of my previous videos, mate, they're like, here's 10 steps to create a calorie deficit.
Yeah. Everyone's the same. I get my Facebook memories come back and haunt me, and they're like, here's me sitting on the couch, like down there going, here's like 5 ways to get more protein in your diet. But I'm breaking it down like with all of the calculations in it. And I just think, actually it's really informative. And to be fair, at the time, probably it wasn't a bad thing, but that's what I mean by getting yourself comfortable with just putting yourself out there in the first place. Then you'll improve to find your own style, your own personality comes out. And if you are a little bit boring, like, embrace it. I just think, because I speak to the coaches weekly and they'll say, I haven't really got any, you know, I think I'm quite boring. I think I haven't got anything that's, you know, cool or interesting. You know, like, people want to see a little bit about you. They want to get to know you. So if you are like that, just still play on it. Put it out there, see what people think.
I mean, it's going to engage with, because I was like, you know, do you ever remember that Jack D, the comedian Jack D?
Yeah, yeah.
He was so deadpan, like, serious, like, but it was very funny, but the way he came across was very deadpan and, you know, very, I hate the world, I hate everybody about the world. But it was so funny watching him, and he obviously had that sort of niche following. But it's, I think people are worried about how people are going to perceive them. And so, well, you want to work with people who you have a rapport with. You don't want to put this false facade out, being a nice jokey, you know, Jack the Lad sort of guy. And you get those people come work with you and you just absolutely can't engage with them.
No. I mean, you forget that we are working in this place where we do work with other humans, and we are very much involved in having a relationship and finding out how people behave. And if you're not prepared to put that out there and connect with your audience, you'll probably find it very difficult to have that, to build a business that way anyway.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Another thing that I've got, which I, again, suffered from, was shiny object syndrome. And I think everybody has got that to a certain degree. And so, certainly when you start off coaching, there's, and obviously Instagram and Facebook realize that's what's happening, you start getting bombarded with these adverts for all these apps that do all these wonderful things that you really don't need, but they sound good. And that's good. That'll get me more this, that'll generate more money, that sort of thing. And it's all these apps that will say, oh, this will do this, this will do this. And then people subscribe to them and say, well, actually, find out like 6 months later, I didn't really need that. And I've just down like 500-600 quid on that app, on the monthly payments or whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I think I've had various softwares and apps over the time. And I will say, though, there comes a time where some of these things are worth the investment into, aren't they? Like, you think about it, it's going to save you some kind of time here, stress on trying to sort something out, or it makes a process slightly more streamlined. And you can justify that because it's having an impact on your your business and it's making your service better or whatever it is, and you can justify that amount, and that makes sense. And the really obvious one to me is like having a link for people to book in. I'm not saying that you always have to use that link, but if there's a really smooth process, like that for me is like a go-to one. And I've definitely spoken to people in the past where they've been like, oh, no, I'm not doing that because that's like an extra expense. I'm like, okay, cool, but it's going to solve all these problems for you. No, we'll just carry on as we are. Okay, fine. Like, go, you do you. And I'm sure that at some point you will do it because you'll realize that you need to do it now. Yeah.
I mean, even that, like say Calendly is free, isn't it? The base product is free for Calendly, which is like your calendar booking app.
Yeah.
And you only need to have the paid one if you have more than one type of appointment. I had the free one for 3-4 years, I think, before I even got the paid. I only got the paid one because I wanted to be able to take payments through after a booking. And I think people sometimes are afraid of, they go the other way, don't they? They're afraid of having more apps and more stuff because, well, how do I work that? I don't want to learn this new thing that's potentially going to help me save money and or save time. But I'll just stick with what I was doing before.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There is still free software out there, isn't there? It's free, like Calendly, MailChimp's free. There's a free version of that.
Up to a certain level, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So you can do a lot of it and then, you know, learn to still don't make that a barrier. And then as you grow, reinvest that back into what you want to improve the service and the business. But yeah, I do get what you're saying. It can very quickly add up with terms of like subscriptions for this and monthly payments for different things. So be aware of it. Yeah.
I think it's worth from that point, it's worth identifying what things would be helpful to you, and of those things that would be helpful, what are free? So what can be just implemented straight away without any cost to your business, but also enhancing your business.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there's always a free option, isn't there? There's always, especially if you're starting out, there's always a free option. Like I've got Typeform, but Google Forms do that job on a basic level very easily.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have an all singing or dancing Typeform.
Yeah.
You don't have to have this if there's a lower grade free option, which will just get you started.
Yeah. I know, I say like it's important to get people to see that just because this says it can do all these things here and it can make your life amazing and you can be this all singing or dancing thing, like you might not need that right now, because what's really important at this point here where you are when you're starting out is, can you help someone achieve a certain goal that they can't do themselves? Can you deliver that to that person and they can understand it and take action on it? And can they feed back to you like what you need? If you can do that, like this, you don't need all this here. You might think you do, but you're just basically delaying what you can do over here by chasing these things. Yeah.
And especially if you're starting out, you're not going to have like 30 clients straight away, are you? There's going to be that process where you've got to get your first client. And like what you said, you need to have a process for, you know, acquiring that client, booking the call, delivering the product, feeding back, like them feeding back to you and you feeding back to them. And all those things can be done on a free level for very low. Like, say if you've got under 10 clients, most of that can be serviced on a free level to get you started.
Yeah, I used Google Sheets for ages. I think for probably the first 4 or 5 years, I used Google Sheets. Just Google Sheets, and then it was shared. So you had like they had the shared document, so you could both, when you updated it, it just updated, and that process was done through email. We used to have calls as well at some points. And then, after that, realized that when I got to, I think it was about 10 clients, around that number, that there was probably a better way to manage this, because I felt it wasn't great at that point. And then I, looked at investing into other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's almost sort of brings us onto the minimum viable product, which is something that new coaches always suffer from, is this sort of perfectionism of, I don't want to put it out there until it's right. You know, do you know what I mean about that? It's like they look at something and go, oh, but I could, you know, I could add this. It's like, will it do the job that you want it to do on a basic level? If so, get that out there and start selling it, and you can always update it as the client feeds back to you.
Yeah, Again, you've got this process now where because someone sees that they need this shiny onboarding process, they need to have this software here, and they need to have it all singing, you know, linked up and everything. So you're like, until I've got that done, I'm not gonna put anything out there. But I'd argue that you're obviously wasting time, but you're not gonna get any better. You're not gonna improve what you do. What is your main role here? Is coaching? Like, just start working with people. All they care about, say not all, but most of the stuff they care about is, can you help them achieve this thing? They don't really care about this onboarding process that's shiny, because you're just putting that up as a barrier to stop doing the work first.
Yeah, it's the like the anything but sales situation, isn't it? It's like, I could do that sales call, but I'm not ready yet to sell that product, so I'll go and tinker with this thing until it works.
Create a video library is the one, isn't it? Like, how many times have I heard that? I'm just going to film all these videos, and then I'll be ready to go. I'm like, just go and start working with people. Doesn't matter. Like, yeah, it's nice to have you on a video and you doing the exercises, but there's millions of videos out there already. Just go and use one.
Yeah. I mean, if anyone's watching this who is like, I need to get these exercise videos on my YouTube, I think I've filmed every single exercise I could possibly think of. So if you are in search of one, just go and grab that. You know, I won't be offended if you use that in your coaching. Don't let that sort of stuff be an imaginary barrier for you to get started and to actually get money in and get customers in. There's a lot of this. The product has to be perfect before I launch it. And the other thing that's interesting here is that, I don't know if you've ever done this, Dan, is that launched a product or put a product out there and sold it before you've actually completed it, before you've actually, you know, made it. Have you done that?
Yeah, definitely. There's what better way to do it than, like, obviously it adds a little bit of pressure because you're like, I've got to do this thing now.
Makes you do it then.
You're learning on as you go through it, like how to build this thing, and even doing it, like creating that product live is quite a cool way of doing it. We definitely done that. I've done that with a few group programs as well. Just created them live as you go through it.
I did that with Target Lean. The first time I launched Target Lean, I just put a thing up saying, like, I'm looking for, well, I think it's 20 people to come and try this new product I've got. And the only thing I had was the diet spreadsheet. That's the only thing I'd had ready, because I knew I could get that, you know, could deliver that. And when people came on board, I said, right, this is a completely new program. What do you want? What do you need to help you? What have you struggled in the past? And I built the program from what they report. I had some things in there, like, here's a calorie deficit, what's protein, carbs, you know, I had those videos already done. But anything else, like evening snacking, like, you know, motivation for the gym, all that stuff came from the people who came onto the first program and then fed back to me what they wanted. And that built the program from that.
Yeah, because what better way to do it than, like, to get it from people actually going through it and giving you that real life live feedback? Then you build it. And then there's going to be more people, you know, coming through after. You will not only have the program, you'll refine it and then do it again, and it'll be better. Yeah. So, it goes back to that first point about, don't be scared to put yourself out there and just start working with people. Don't be perfect, and then refine and repeat it again. Repeat that process.
Yeah. And the other thing from that is that coaches often think what their clients want in the program, but it's not. It's what the coach thinks they need. And so there's a lot of the time coaches launch this product and it's like, oh, and it's got this and it's got this and it's got this. And people are like, I'm not going to use any of that. I just want to know how to do this. Yeah. And they're like, well, I haven't done anything for that, because the coach is looking at it from their perspective, not from the client's perspective.
Yeah, I definitely see that. And more so probably, well, actually some of the group programs, you try and add in, what else can we add into this? Can we add in, like, more touch points, more calls, things like that? And they never got used. So it's like, no, I need to know enough to achieve this thing. And if I'm doing that and it's working for me and I'm happy, that's all I need. And a little bit like with the mentoring at the moment, we're like, okay, cool. So we add in, like, more things, but we don't actually need to do that, because the main things that are happening are the touch points and the contact that we have. And if we just add more stuff in, we're doing it, but for what reason? So,
it's the same reason gym owners buy shiny new kits, because they think that the customer wants, or the member wants more gym kit. and actually what the member wants is a good community. And you see this all the time in gym owners are like, oh, look, I just spent £10,000 on all this brand new equipment. And they still don't get more members. They think the equipment's going to bring the members in, and it doesn't, because it's just a feature. Yeah, and the benefit of the gym is the community and what the result people get. I see that's a lot with people saying, oh, yeah, if you buy this bit of kit, Tom, then you get more members come in. I'm like, well, I've run a gym for 12 years, so I know what's going to bring the members in. And it's not going to be that bit of kit, which is £4,000 and does like one movement or something.
I suppose it depends on your gym, doesn't it? And your people. Because I get a little bit excited over some gym kit. It's not why I would do it though.
But on that point, say like if your gym bought a new bit of kit, that would be good, wouldn't it? Oh, a new bit of kit. Like, but if they didn't buy that, you would still be at that gym, yeah?
Yeah.
Look at it the other way. What about if your gym dropped prices so that a whole load of wankers came in, you know, or did a deal for, you know, the wankers down the road, you know? So that they come in and suddenly your gym is just full of wankers. What happens then?
No, I'd be very, that's actually happened, so I've been off.
Yeah. It's again what people think they want, what people actually want. That's gym owners make it, coaches make it, loads of businesses make it. They don't see things from the point of view of their customer.
Yeah, agree. What I've got, I don't know if this would be good. I've got there's like 8 steps. Or no, like, I suppose it's like 8 steps really. But like if I had to start over again, like specific things that I would do. No clients, nothing, no kind of base. And this is, again, it'd be interesting to see what you think of this, but also, so I'll go through them anyway. But in terms of that first part, so creating content that resonates and is specific and that you enjoy creating as well, I think that's important. But then not being afraid to put that out there. But then I would be spending time interacting with those people who engaged in that content. So I'd be trying to make connections and conversations with them. Then I would send them a message to ask if they would mind helping me out with some research. So I'd be potentially seeing if they'd be okay to get on a call with me just to go through some research so I could get a bit more straight from them, like the things that they would like, they find difficult, all that kind of stuff. I'd also potentially at that point, because if it's starting again, thinking about like social proof, I would ask them if they would mind me recording it, like in terms of that call, and maybe potentially using that for some kind of proof to show proof, but also like I'm building something out. And then if they did ask me about the thing I'm building, I wouldn't actually sell it to them then. I would say to them, you know, okay, I appreciate that, but I'll keep your details and then I'll let you know. So then what I'm doing there is trying to then get them maybe start building an email list straight away from these contacts. And then I could potentially email them, depending on the people you ask, but maybe I'd only want to research with like 5 to 10 people max, but then build the program from the research. And then you've got everything you need from that process. And you also got maybe a pool of people that you could actually reach out to straight away. But they were my thoughts. I don't know what you think on that.
Years ago, I when I was looking at building like a group-based program for like the for want of a better word, like the bodybuilding side of things. So it was essentially what turned into Build, the original program I did. It then turned into Build later on. And what I did was, because it was completely new, and I thought, you know, do people actually want a program which is just centered on building muscle, like for the normal person? Because everything was fat loss, you know, about three years ago, everything was like, lose fat, you know, and, you know, lose fat eating food your life, which is what Target Lean was. And I was like, are people really wanting not to bother too much with fat loss and really just focus on building muscle and getting strong? It's a new concept. And So I put a thing on my Instagram and I said, look, I'm planning on doing this program. I'm looking for people just to give me some insights, you know. So if you are someone who goes to the gym and blah, 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 all these other things, drop me a DM so I can have a chat with you. And I did all that stuff you're saying, and it worked because I got all the stuff I needed for Build, you know, minimum viable product, and then I launched it, and then obviously I've edited it as the years gone on.
Yeah. Yeah, I think when you write it down, it doesn't actually seem that, you know, the stages seem like they make sense, don't seem that complex. But I think, like we spoke about originally before this, is a lot of people put those barriers in place, like I've got to get this done, I've got to do that. And it's almost like, no, if you just wrote, okay, cool, we're just going to go through these steps, and almost expect there to be an element of work involved, because it's not, as some people might make out, it's not this dream life that you can just do and make 100K in 90 days and from scratch, which I find fascinating when I see those things, those adverts. I don't know, maybe I'm just skeptical. I don't know.
I like the adverts which say, are you tired of working for a living? Do you just want to not work for a living and just sit on the beach writing programs to people as an online coach?
Yeah.
Which is basically the advert in a nutshell.
Yeah. And that's it. I always think that we're this, that conditioned to be like, this is supposed to be easy. It's almost the same as what is in the fat loss space or nutrition space. Like, yeah, this is supposed to be easy. And everyone's like, oh, why is it so hard to lose weight? Like, it's not supposed to be easy. Okay. There's going to be times when it might be easier for you, but it's going to be difficult because you're making these changes. It's the same thing here when it comes to your business. Expect there to be some hard work involved and times that are going to be challenging. But if you're building a business for long term, rather than thinking of these quick hacks that you can do straight away that probably maybe work, maybe won't, don't work, but you want to think about long term for your business. I mean, that's what I would think about for mine, like, not what, yeah, what can I do in 6 months and then I don't know, that's it. That's not what I'm in it for, really.
Well, a lot of those programs which are sold on the, like, the get rich quick thing, but it's not a get rich quick scheme, you know, it's not a get rich quick thing, but we'll get you X amount in 90 days. The way they work is basically how MLM works. Oh, have, yeah, you got some school friends you haven't talked to in a while? Let's contact them, you know, email everyone on your friends list and Facebook, yeah, you know, yeah, sell them your coaching and all that. That's how, yeah, those things work. And obviously, after a while, you're going to exhaust all your friends on Facebook and all your old school friends. And then all of a sudden, you've got no strategy.
And no friends.
And no friends. And no money. So then you've got to buy another course.
Oh, dear. Yeah, but I get that. And that's what I mean. You know, why are we trying to, like, hack our way to this stuff? Why can't we just do it? You know, we're following a process that follows principles that we know work. And it's going to involve some work, of course.
I think that should be a relevant point then, isn't it? Because what you're saying about hacking, like, you know, when people talk to us about diet plans, oh, how do I hack my metabolism? How do I hack this? How do I hack that? How do I lose fat in 90 days, the fastest possible method? And as coaches, we go, no, that's not the right thing to do. You know, you want to be, have a long-term plan and everything else. And obviously the client goes, don't want to do that. I want it fast. So they go off and buy, you know, the fast fat loss program. And you go, as a coach, why have you done that? And then they can do exactly the same thing,
yeah,
with their sort of hack your business plan sales. Oh, really? I can do that in 90 days? Oh, yeah, forget that plan that Dan and Tom were talking about. That seems like a lot of work. Yeah. Let's just do that instead.
It's a shame because you'll find that you'll have, I mean, I'll speak to coaches who have gone through that process, and it's like they're in that position where they're kind of burnt out and have been burnt, and then a little bit disillusioned, disheartened, and then at that point of like, I don't want to do this anymore. And you think, well, that wouldn't be the case if this hadn't happened. The same way that those clients might approach them as coaches, be like, oh, I've tried everything, I've been through all this stuff, and you know, I've tried this magical thing, and I paid all this money, and nothing happened. And then, you know, as good coaches as we are, we're there to go, right, cool, don't worry, we'll look after you. And it's like, well, the same thing happens from the business perspective.
Mm.
Yeah.
And is that your whole list, your eight points?
Yeah, the only part after that was like, they're the things I'd do straight away. When I get people in, I would very quickly look at how I reinvest part of that income back in to grow my audience. Mainly through email, and that for me would be something I wish. I mean, I did this eventually, but I didn't do it sooner. I wish I'd, I don't know, if I had my time again, I'd do that sooner, definitely. Mm. Yeah.
So something I've got written down is not follow every business guru on Instagram.
Yeah.
Because the way And okay, this isn't ever, because obviously me and you are business gurus, aren't we?
Gurus.
Guru. We're coaches who help people with their business. So there are obviously some people out there who are ethical, moral people, but unfortunately that's the minority. And the majority of it is, the way the marketing works is, are you not earning 5 to 10K a month? Well, you're shit then. And here are people who worked with me who were earning under 5K a month. Now they're earning 10K a month and they're better people than you. But you can only find out how they did that by signing up to my 12-month program, which has got a contract on it, which is £700 a month. And if you don't get results and want to leave, we'll take you to court for money you don't have. Do you want in?
Yeah, I'm in.
Oh, sign me
up. I agree with that. Like, be selective. And it's good to do that anyway. I feel like a lot of coaches follow other coaches as well. And I'm kind of a little bit for that. But then if you follow everyone, then your audience is just not your audience, is it? It's full of other coaches. I guess do use your own, like we spoke about at the beginning, use your own kind of initiative. Like, who do you align with? What values do you connect with? What do you see in that person? And is it something that you look for and you uphold in someone? And if that is, then, and do they add, you know, are they your kind of person? And if they are, then by all means, like, but also if they're not, if it's me and you're like, actually don't really, then don't unfollow me. Like, it's fine. But that's what it's about, isn't it? It's nothing personal. We were talking about this before, I think, like, you know, people unsubscribing from email lists and things, and it's a good thing. Like, you know, curate your own list. Yeah.
I think the other thing here is that I follow a lot of people in business coaches who are outside the industry. So obviously I follow you and a few other, you know, people who I respect in this industry, the fitness industry, as coaches. So I follow them. But I don't follow the people who you like, that, you know, the law says you should follow because they're the biggest in the industry, that sort of thing. I don't, because there's a reason why those people are hemorrhaging clients. They're getting lots of clients in, but there's a reason why they're hemorrhaging clients as well, like at a fast rate. And, you know, there is a reason there. So we won't go into it. So I follow people who are outside of the industry. And the reason I do that is because you can get into your own little bubble in the fitness industry where all you're following is fitness coaches, fitness channels, fitness guru, business coaches. And all you see, you have this very closed view of what the industry's like. And actually, if you go outside of that, and this is one of the reasons I did KPI, was that no one in the KPI intake for my intake, there were 63 people there. None of them were in the fitness space. Okay, one was in the fitness space. So 60 other people were outside of that industry, completely not involved.
Yeah.
And all those people there talking about how they did business and how they did things and how they improved their business gave me ideas to improve my business, which was slightly different to what the norm was in fitness. And that really helped me a lot by not focusing on just the people in the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm in a separate group for helping out with my stuff and everything, and it's nothing. I don't think there's anyone in there. Maybe there is like one other person, but everyone else is just different business owners, and it's quite refreshing. It's quite nice.
Yeah. I had an accountability group for about, I think we met for 3 years, even after the Dent program finished. We met our accountability group. He kept going. None of those people were in the fitness industry. And it was great to have that refreshing look at my industry and my business from people who are completely outside.
Yeah, I agree. And also for your like social media, like look at other, we talked about this on other things, but like slight tangent, but looking at other places for your inspiration and stuff, it can help. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at, say, what's working in content in, say, real estate, that might give you ideas of how to create different, because again, it's being different, it's standing out from the crowd, isn't it? And if all your content is all the same as everybody else's fitness content, well, it doesn't matter, you might as well not produce it, because no one's gonna see it, no one's gonna look at it and go, oh, that's interesting, and stop scrolling.
Here's a question for you. If you were to start again, then, and we've discussed all this stuff, and you're going to do all some of those points that I mentioned a moment ago, would you, because thinking about back in the day, there wasn't this stuff going on that there is now, would you use these like templates, these pre-made things that people are kind of pushing? Would you go to that?
So knowing what I do now, no. But if I was starting out and I didn't know any of this, I probably would.
Yeah.
And that's the reason why those things get sold quite a lot, is people getting into the industry and it's this, oh, well, I've got to go from nothing to sprinting as fast as I possibly can to compete with the other coaches. And so what they do, they buy all these things to sort of preload their business with all these nice fancy templates and this, that, and the other. And then we do the problem or do the mistake that we've just talked about, in the fact that every other coach, well, not every other coach, but a lot of other coaches have bought the same templates and they're putting out the same type of content, and you just look the same as everybody else, even though you've tried to create, and this isn't the fault of coaches, they're trying to be professional and they're trying to make the best business for themselves. But by doing that, they fall into this trap of all these nice shiny objects which are advertised on Facebook. Oh, you know, get a year's worth of diet plans. Okay. Get a year's worth of recipes. Okay. That's my whole year's content sorted.
Yeah.
But it's just it, but it's not tailored to your business, not tailored to who you're talking to, your personality.
Yeah.
So right from the start, you're starting out with a false business, a false perception of who you are.
Yeah. I mean, it's another thing, isn't it, to make it harder, because it's like they sound amazing, or we take care of all this stress for you and everything, but then actually is it causing more problems like down the line, because you're missing that big part of what we just spoke about in terms of research and finding out stuff and connection.
The other thing, which potentially is maybe we shouldn't say, is don't hire a coach from day one. So don't hire a business coach from day one.
Some people out there saying this is the first thing you should do.
Yeah. And this looks as though me and Dan are doing ourselves out of business. And actually, Build Business is designed to help people from zero to nothing to get to 5K. But if someone's just started out, I'm very much, look, you need to go off and learn a bit yourself. Have a go at stuff yourself. You know, watch some of my free videos, watch some of the stuff on looking at your niche and looking at this, that, the other. Have a go at it yourself before you then come and ask me to help you or you. Because if you could come straight away and it's like, oh, Dan, Tom, we're going to sign up to your program. Okay, so you're going to do all these things. You've not tried it yourself, so you don't know that there's potentially other ways to do things. And you're always going to be reliant on someone to lead you to the water.
Yeah, agree. At least have something like that. Plus, I can see why it would be useful. But then I just knowing that process, I think there's merit in just trying a little bit of it yourself, just to go, okay, cool, I've got a bit of an idea to hear. And you've got more to then come to someone like us with to go, cool, I've been doing this stuff and this is what I've been testing out. Just gives it a little bit more rather than it being, I mean, from scratch is possible, but then I always feel like there's a shed load more to do at that point. Like, so, but you can do a lot of it like before. One thing I was going to mention there, sorry, man, is one thing I did definitely find useful is working with another coach, though, like working with a coach for your own stuff. So training, nutrition.
Is this like a fitness coach working with another fitness coach?
Yeah. To get an idea of what one it's good for you anyway in terms of your stuff, but it gives you a real, if you work with someone who's been doing this like before and is really good from what they've put out there, and they've got a few things, they're kind of like a little bit further ahead, I would definitely go and work with them. Not so you can like steal the way they do stuff, but you can see how they work, and it gives you a good appreciation of actually, okay, this is the process, this is what happens. And I think that's definitely merit in that as well. But what do
I think there's a lot of good coaches who will do that sort of like, maybe it's like you're talking about like a mentoring sort of process.
No, well, just like in terms of going, say you're training gym and I go and work with someone who's going to help out with my training, my programming, maybe my nutrition a little bit, and just to look at the processes that they use and how they do things, I think it's quite a useful tool sometimes. And also, if you are a coach who's going to be expecting people to invest into you, I think there's some kind of merit in terms of you should have an appreciation of.
I get what you mean. Is that you're talking about, we did this before, whereas you're a coach, but you have a coach to do your nutrition and training programming.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I thought you meant as a partnership. Yeah,
but my training and nutrition are completely different reasons now to when I first got into it, because I was like more interested in, okay, how does this person like deliver their coaching? How do they speak to their clients? Like, what's it like being involved in that community? And that was really cool to get an understanding. And obviously they're all different. And again, pick people you kind of resonate with. And I think that's a real, real positive thing to do.
Well, when I, before I started business coaching properly, I was doing a little bit, like helping, you know, a few PTs and stuff like that and a few gym owners, but not officially because I had all the other stuff to do. And I work with a guy called Seb Bates, who's really, he's launched a foundation now in like the developing world, where he helps kids go into school and stuff like that. And he built what's called the Warrior Academy, which is like a martial arts thing. And it's international. It's really good. And he was on KPI and I worked with him. He came to me originally for the training nutrition stuff. And as we were working on that, we were talking about business and he gave me such good advice. I was like, mate, I've got to start paying you for this because this stuff you're speaking to me about is really useful. And I feel as though, you know, there's not a value exchange here. So we worked together for about 6 months and it was potentially one of the best things I ever did, because he gave me new ideas about how to work in my business and how to coach other people and how to coach people in business, that sort of thing. And it really sort of transformed how I was thinking about the gym, about my coaching business. And it was really worth the money, not just for the fact that, yeah, I improved my own business, but how he coached was a very good way of, very good way of doing things.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Like having people, probably similar. We've had a few coaches who would ask for like, oh, can you help me out with this, would you mind like mentoring me as such, and I was like, I'm not, I don't really do that. That was, and then you keep getting asked and then it was like, okay, cool, I'll you know, let's have a call, let's jump on, let's go through this. Like, no, didn't want anything for it. But then over that time you start to get more and more, had more and more coaches approach me and then they would come and work with us as well, and then we'd start to kind of build bits of that into like what we're doing with the coaching feedback and everything, and so taking it separately made sense. But yeah, massive appreciation for that. It's good.
Excellent. Some good points there, I think.
Yeah, the only one big one which I think is important to get across is, even if you're working online, like, still don't discount like your local area. I think it's a big thing that coaches think that, okay, I'm going to work online, I can work anyone in the world, and you're like, okay, yeah, you can, but try and still think about, just because your service is online, your local area, I would try and just capitalize on that first and become the go-to person. Doesn't matter if you're not in person, just still use it.
No, I mean, I think when I was doing physique coaching, I think about half my clients were Bristol based, and then the other half were like Dubai, America, that sort of thing. Really weird distance, but yeah, it was I always had a lot of people local, maybe because of the gym, I don't know. But I think I'm quite active on Facebook as well in my local area and all that sort of stuff. So
definitely, maybe that's it's a big one for me, because it's much easier to find people who know you locally or potentially know someone who knows you, rather than trying to convince a stranger, like, it's going to take a little bit longer. So and also this whole thing of like, I don't want to, you know, all I've got on my Facebook are friends and family, and I'm like, that's brilliant. Why don't we just use that? Why don't you speak to your friends and family? Oh no, I don't want to do that. Why not? Like, oh, you want to speak to some stranger over here? Yeah, cool. Okay,
it's safer, isn't it? If they don't know you and they think you're an idiot, that's fine, because you don't have to know them, have to see them in the street.
But so that's the thing, like using the local area, I think, still big one for me.
Yeah, I mean, that sort of leads into sort of maybe a B point there, is that a lot of people don't consider Facebook as a networking tool, and it really is. You know, there's so much you can do. And I don't mean like friend requesting random people and then sliding into their DMs and asking them, you know, would they like some help with weight loss or whatever? Not that, but you can get a lot more engagement on Facebook and get your message out to a lot more people because the share function, all that sort of thing. You know, it's, I think people neglect that. They're like, oh no, Facebook is just for friends and family. Get some more networking contacts on there, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, that's all I've got really. I don't think I've got anything else.
Some good points there. I think we did get about 7 points. So that's perfect. That fits into the guru matrix. So yeah, 7 points. Unfortunately it was longer than 7 minutes. So, and quite a bit shorter than 77 minutes. So we'll just have to take that. Maybe on editing, I can trim it down to 47 minutes. Right. Great, Dan. Thanks for those points. That was awesome. Quickly, where can people find you?
That's Strong Collective. Dan's Strong Collective, anyway.
And mine is actually Tom Blackman Coach now, pretty much everywhere. Or buildcoaching.co.uk. Great. Okay, next time we'll be talking more stuff. Not sure what the title is yet, because we make this stuff up on the fly. So hopefully you'll stick around for that one. Dan, thanks very much for today. See you on the next one.
Thanks.